Well, Gucci certainly is firing on all cylinders. They're hugely fashionable. They're focused. They're upscale. Burberry was trying to be a little bit too much everything to everybody, and they need to kind of figure out what they are.
Does Burberry actually belong as part of a bigger portfolio, LVMH, Kering, or other?
Well, that's right. LVMH and Kering have done this portfolio approach very well. Coach and Michael Kors in the U.S. are trying to emulate that. The problem is that everything anybody would want to buy in the luxury space at the moment is not for sale or is very expensive.
Right.
So it's hard to do.
So Canopy Growth is getting a big investment from Constellation Brands, the big liquor company. They're going to be the largest shareholder after they pay about $245 million Canadian, which is about $191 million U.S., for about a 9.9% stake in this company, which is a Canadian seller of medicinal marijuana. But this is really a legitimization, if you will, and one of the first big investments by an existing public company that we have seen.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration taking steps Monday to back away from claims soy protein protects the heart. Regulators are proposing a rule change, forcing companies to no longer make that claim because studies published years ago have shown inconsistent proof. The FDA announced, "Our review of that evidence has led us to conclude that the relationship between soy protein and heart disease does not meet the rigorous standard for an FDA-authorized health claim."
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's November 1st, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Welcome to another business day. Welcome to November. I guess it's Wednesday, I'm being told in my ear. I guess I had a little too much candy last night. What did I say, Tuesday? I think I'm on overload of candy. Hopefully you had a good Halloween, and especially if you were with your kids last night. What a great Halloween to be out and about. Lots of trick-or-treaters everywhere. But it's November, and we've got lots to talk about this morning, including taxes. A little bit later in the program, we'll be joined by a reporter who's been covering a lot of the tax cut proposal. Aaron Lorenzo from Politico will be here in a moment. We'll bring in our first guest, the CEO of Talkwalker. We'll talk about social media in the age of television, television perhaps in the age of social media, maybe the other way around. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Asian shares higher on optimism about global economic growth following gains on Wall Street. Japan's benchmark Nikkei added almost 2% in the early going. This morning, right now, in Asia, markets are all generally higher. The Nikkei is probably going to end the day up about 408 points, which, again, is good for about 2%. Hang Seng up about 1.5%. And the Shanghai's a little bit higher this morning as well. In Europe, the markets are generally higher, with the FTSE up about 0.25%. The DAX in Germany is up almost 1.5% at 201 points. And in France, markets are generally pointing higher, too. In this country, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up 116 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are higher as well. The NASDAQ futures up about 33, oil at $55.02 a barrel. A couple of stories we're watching for you on the tax story. House Republicans are delaying their rollout of the tax plan until tomorrow amid a struggle to finalize details. That's the word from a senior aide, GOP aide. The aide speaking on condition of anonymity because they're not really allowed to talk publicly about the schedule. But the Tax Writing Ways and Means Committee was expected to work throughout the night last night to produce the plan, the actual bill that will be voted on and marked up, although they have settled on some details, such as a cut in the corporate tax rate and maintaining the top personal income tax rate for the wealthy. Other elements have still to be resolved, including whether or not there will be that state and local tax deduction and whether or not they will leave mortgage interest alone. A billionaire businessman Ken Griffin is donating $125 million to the University of Chicago's Department of Economics. The university's gift announced this morning says that it is the second largest in the school history and brings his personal donations to the school to nearly $150 million. Also, senators harshly criticizing representatives of Twitter and Facebook, Google, for not doing more to prevent Russian agents from interfering with the American political process. During a Senate subcommittee yesterday, Twitter for the first time revealed the reach of Russian-linked content on its site on the Twitter feed, acknowledging there were about 288 million automated election-related tweets, 288 million automated election-related tweets from accounts tied to Russia between September 1st and November 15th of 2016. Well, our TV fall TV season is well underway. The new season of Stranger Things has also dropped on Netflix. It's really a great time to be watching TV, but how much are we using social media along with it? We thought we'd bring in Todd Grossman this morning, the CEO of Talkwalker, which is a social media analytics platform. Todd, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Social media, I guess we're talking about hashtag Stranger Things, hashtag TV, hashtag TGIF, those kinds of things. This is a real-time way of engaging with your favorite show and people who watch it, isn't it?
It is, Steve. Gone are the days when the conversation around TV shows took place around the office water cooler the following morning. Reactions to shows are taking place in real time, and not watching a show live or as it's released on a streaming network means an instant risk of dreaded spoilers.
Yeah, this is the big thing. Is there are we getting close to having some sort of etiquette for this? Because I know some of the fans of the shows I watch are careful to say, hey, spoiler alert, next tweet, spoiler alert, so I kind of look away from their feed. But are we getting closer to having some sort of etiquette for this?
I don't think we are. I think more and more people are participating, and people that are going to communicate about things, they're going to communicate it. I will say our conversation today may have one or two spoiler alerts, so I like to practice proper etiquette, but some people get very excited about things and can't control themselves. And if they put it on their Facebook feed, they're not intentionally trying to spoil it for others. They're just very excited, perhaps.
Well, let's talk about the importance of having these folks interacting with these shows in real time for the shows themselves, for the networks that are putting them out, the production companies. How big of a deal is this?
It's a really big deal, and we see ABC taking a really nice lead in terms of what they're doing with their hashtag TGIT, which basically features the lineup for Grey's Anatomy and How to Get Away with Murder. And what's happening is they're creating a buzz around that hashtag, but often, in this case, the show's cast will hold a viewing party in live tweets of the show. We've never seen stuff like that before.
Yeah, and I kind of showed my age and my watching habits by saying TGIF earlier. That used to be what they called their Friday night lineup. ABC, is ABC unique in this, or are they sort of using the strategies that your company is promoting?
Well, what we're seeing as well are networks like Disney. They're doing it for Descendants, for example, the show that just came out. There's hashtags for that show, and all these kids and their junior audiences that are younger audiences, I should say, that are watching the shows are seeing these hashtags pop up all online. And these 8-year-olds are knowing what hashtags are, what Twitter is, what Instagram is, and they're using social media and they're growing up with this, and it just will not go away.
Well, Todd, hang on with us. Yeah, in a good way. Hang on with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Todd Grossman. He's the CEO of Talkwalker, a social media analytics platform. And Todd, coming up, we want to talk a little bit more about how you analyze these hashtags and this engagement.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, investors were back to their winning ways on Tuesday, sending the Dow Jones 28.5 points higher to 23,377. The S&P 500 closed up 2.5. The NASDAQ composite finished nearly 29 points higher at a new record, 6,727. Facebook, Twitter, and Google are defending their security measures to a Senate subcommittee. Their testimony comes amid revelations that Russian-linked accounts reached many more American voters during last year's election than had been previously thought. ExxonMobil has settled clean air violations, agreeing to pay a $2.5 million penalty and to spend $300 million to upgrade 8 petrochemical plants in Texas and Louisiana. Environmentalists call it insufficient punishment for years of violations. In the face of growing competition from online retailers, Walmart hopes to give actual customers something they won't find in the virtual world, Christmas parties. And Target now has dedicated staff in areas such as clothing, beauty, and electronics. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. We're on with Todd Grossman this morning, CEO of Talkwalker, a social media analytics platform. We were talking about the hashtags and social media. This goes on around TV, especially some of the big TV series. We were talking earlier, Todd, about ABC. You talked about the TGIT, Stranger Things. I'm curious how, when you measure all of this, how is this combined by, let's say, ABC, Disney, to get a sense of, you know, the total number of people engaged?
Well, it's really easy to measure these things now. As long as something's public and you can look at whether someone's liking, commenting, or sharing a post out there, you're able to see analytics very quickly. And machine learning and artificial intelligence, the technologies that are combined, can also do sentiment analysis and image recognition. So they could be mentioning ABC or a name of a show without even mentioning the name in the post, but you'll be able to pick that up through analytics platform by looking at the logo and image recognition.
So I'm guessing that companies are able to use this sort of data to go along, again, back to the TV example, along with their ratings, to show to advertisers and say, hey, look at the buzz involved with the show.
You hit the nail right on the head, because basically what you're able to do now is you're able to overlay sales data, Facebook Insight data, Google Analytics data with social data and put it in graphs and sheets to be able to see those trends and look at those correlations and hidden insights.
Let me ask you this, because I'm sure there are marketing professionals listening this morning to this to try to figure out how they might be able to do this for themselves or their companies. What is the first advice if somebody's getting ready to launch a hashtag campaign?
So really think it through. A marketer should think through any campaign or hashtag intended to tag along with the publicity of anything that could be trending, whether it's a show, a product, or a news event, and seeing if it's a recurring or a one-time release, and seeing if the audience can routinely engage on this. And secondly, really plan ahead. If your brand or company wants to jump ahead on something trending, particularly like a television event, plan for a marketing campaign to roll it out well in advance of an air date.
And I would imagine this is getting people involved too, in throughout the company. Perhaps the big players that are involved, whatever project, tweeting and using social media to sort of boost all of this up, right?
Yes. What you're able to do is you're able to, in this day of age, identify who the influencers are online, and you could basically have a list of influencers, and then you could do some engagement towards those influencers and sharing with them, perhaps sneak previews, trailers, and get the buzz going. We see it with the Apple, the iPhone coming out right now, that there are key influencers out there who have the iPhone before everyone else does, and right now they're talking about it online.
Yeah, and that's, you bring up a good point, and it's identifying those influencers. How do you do that? How do you find out who's an influencer that might help push your campaign forward?
Well, one has to understand the definition of an influencer. Is it someone who just has great reach, or is it someone who has a lot of engagement on their mentions that they post? So with the technology such as ours at TalkWalker, you're able to monitor over 150 million websites in over 187 different languages in real time. And what you're able to do is you're able to see those posts and who's posting the most, who has the most engagement on these posts, and then you're able to sort it by influencers and understanding what their sentiment is, as well as their social ID. What have they posted in the past?
Isn't it surprising to you that back to, let's say, Stranger Things, that this society today seems like we can't keep our attention for just a few seconds before we have to check our phones or whatever, but we can sit and watch a full season of Stranger Things, 8 hours, in one sitting?
It's absolutely incredible, the phenomenon of binge watching, and how season two for Stranger Things, basically they released the entire series, season two, at one setting. So people are binging because they don't want to be spoiled by someone else in a lot of cases.
Well, Todd, tell us how we can find out more about this and maybe get in touch with somebody at TalkWalker or find more social media strategy.
Yeah, we have a lot of different offerings, and one is a free search Google Alerts equivalent that's very comprehensive. If they visit www.talkwalker.com, they can get a lot of information, and we'd be glad to set you up.
Well, we appreciate you taking time out and being on the opening bell this morning, Todd.
My pleasure.
All right.
Have a great day.
You too. Todd Walker, CEO of TalkWalker, a social media analytics platform. That website, again, is talkwalker.com.
Hi, this is Catherine Davis with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. In an effort to reduce gun violence, the city of Chicago has placed 6 intelligence centers in some of the city's most violence-prone neighborhoods. Since the centers have been active, shootings in all 6 districts are down nearly one quarter compared to last year, said Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. The centers use policing technology that includes cameras, gunshot detection, and predictive crime analytics. Skin.io, a Chicago startup that helps prevent and detect cancer through an online platform, has expanded its service beyond Illinois to 7 more states, including Wisconsin, Minnesota, Colorado, Arizona, Iowa, Kansas, and Nevada. Users in those states can now download the app and work with licensed dermatologists in their area. And Wisdom, a female founder-focused tech incubator in 1871, has been awarded $50,000 by the U.S. Small Business Administration's Growth Accelerator Fund competition. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to our program. It's our Wednesday edition here of The Opening Bell, and the tax cut plan that's being passed around in Washington is apparently going to be delayed a day as the lawmakers work to finalize details. Aaron Lorenzo is a tax reporter for Politico and is with us this morning here on The Opening Bell. Aaron, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
What are we to make of this delay? Is it just that they need more time to dot the I's and cross the T's?
I'd say that's probably the long and short of it. But they are big I's and big T's. Maybe you might think of it that way. This is a question of revenue offsets. They're trying to finish an agreement on how exactly to pay for the ambitious goals that they've laid out in this package.
A couple of those big ones, they're getting a lot of pushback on the state and local tax deductions, removing mortgage interest and 401ks issues. Are those the big ones?
You definitely ID'd a couple of those big ones. You're right. I know state and local tax issues matter a lot in Illinois and several other states, of course. We hear a lot from members in New Jersey, members in New York, Republican members in particular. And so there's one of the issues that's pretty easy to pinpoint. You mentioned the mortgage interest deduction. How low might they cap the ceiling on that? And that's an issue coast to coast, it seems like. And retirement contributions to 401k plans, will they tax some of what most of us workers can contribute on a pre-tax basis? Will they start taxing some of that up front? That doesn't seem to be politically popular. President Trump has been public about his dislike of the idea, yet it seems like they have still talked about it, at least going into yesterday. So there were still some question marks on what was thought to be the final day before they rolled the bill out. So instead they have given themselves at least another day to keep talking.
I was so surprised to see an NBC News, I think Wall Street Journal poll about how the public feels about all of this. Just about, I think, 14 or 18% of people like this plan. Already out of the gate, more unpopular than the effort to repeal and replace Obamacare. How is that going to impact the public perception of all of this, going to impact things going forward?
I think that's a big factor in play and something not to lose sight of. That's, I think, part of why President Trump said what he said about the 401k plan and the idea of taxing 401k contributions. So, of course, your retirement contributions are always going to be taxed, but the current tax treatment is they get taxed when you withdraw them, right? And the idea of changing the rules and taxing contributions up front maybe just sounds scary, and in a plan that maybe is already has a lot of question marks in the minds of many in the public, why would you, you know, like I said, change the goalposts, move things around that are pretty embedded in our habits right now? So that's definitely a concern of theirs. One of the talking points we hear a lot is how this is going to be a tax break ultimately for the middle class. This isn't just set up to benefit the wealthy in America. And one way that they're trying to paint that picture is by improving what we call the child tax credit, right? And making that, you know, a bigger benefit. But that's another one of the question marks that's still not settled. How high, how much of an improvement can they make there, and can they afford to make? So definitely worth keeping your eye on those public polling numbers and what they do to try to soften the expected impact.
Yeah, and they're also trying to get some of these. I mean, the impact of the lobbying groups that are involved in this, too, probably can't be understated. I know the National Association of Home Builders was initially sort of on the side of the people writing this because they thought there would be some sort of credit for homeowners that would maybe encompass that mortgage interest and property taxes. When you have heavy hitters like the NAHB against you, that doesn't look good either, does it?
No, the interaction between lawmakers and lobbyists in Washington is always fascinating to watch. And when you have big muscle on the lobbying side coming up against you, that's difficult to say the least. I'm sure if you're an elected official trying to rewrite bills, rewrite tax laws here in Washington. So that was a significant change there, and a lot of other lobbyists, you know, that certainly have clout in Washington, they're waiting for final details before they weigh in pro or con on this bill. Part of the reason that we still have so many question marks is by design. The congressmen, the Republicans in Congress who are writing this bill, are keeping a very tight lid up until the moment they release it. In an effort to kind of keep these lobbyists at bay, the ones who most likely will pick it apart if their clients appear to be on the wrong side of what they hope.
Aaron, lots of reporting, including great reporting by Politico on all of this, but what is the biggest misconception that you've either seen in your own newsroom and reporting this about this effort, or that we in the public are not getting through all of the different coverages of this?
I think it's interesting to watch how much it's assumed that this is a done deal. The White House, the House Republican leadership, and the Senate Republican leadership certainly make a strong effort at painting themselves as a unified front on this. And that's true to an extent. They are moving in the same direction. They all do want to reduce tax burden on individuals. They do want to reduce the tax burden on businesses, both corporate and non-corporate. But those final details, there are differences of opinion there, and it's difficult to get there. And I think when you see them set deadlines like November 1st, we're going to roll out our bill on the House side, and then at 8:30 last night, after a two-hour meeting in the Ways and Means office off the Capitol floor, the chairman comes out and says, you know what, we're going to have to wait another day. I think that's telling. These timelines are ambitious. The goals are ambitious. And I think it's for the general public trying to pay attention and watch these things. Pay attention to the process. It's not as easy as some of the goals that they like to lay out.
Yeah, there's some over in the Senate. We saw that I think it's one. Was it Susan Collins from Maine already coming out saying, "Hey, I've got some problems with what I'm seeing already." The bill's not even out yet, and she, of course, you know, was one of the players that helped doom their repeal and replace of Obamacare.
Right. The Senate is quite a different body than the House. It is easier, ultimately, I think, for House Republicans to get something through. The Senate, just by virtue of numbers, has a much narrower Republican majority. You mentioned Senator Collins. She has laid out a marker. She's uncomfortable with the upper tax rate not applying to anyone with more than $1 million of annual income. Now that number is not settled yet, but there's an important marker to keep in mind. Of course, there's two retiring Republican senators that have already announced their retirement, and whether they go along with something that President Trump is pushing is anyone's guess, because President Trump is a big part of the reason they're planning to retire.
Yeah,
and you can't lose more than two, and potentially right there we're talking about three. So, and of course, there's Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, who's always a bit of a wild card. So right there you can already think that there's four question marks. And again, they can only afford to lose two in the Senate. Now they could pick up some Democrats. President Trump and others are trying their best to get some Democrats on their side. Senator Donnelly from Indiana, close by you all, is one of them on their target list. But these are all question marks, and they say they want to do a lot of this stuff between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and those holidays aren't too far away. So stay tuned, I guess, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Aaron, thank you for being with us this morning here on The Opening Bell.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Aaron Lorenzo is a tax reporter for Politico, and you can read his work, obviously, at politico.com, and we'll continue following this as well here in The Opening Bell. Certainly lots riding on it. The stock market, of course, has all this baked in. Dow futures up into the hundreds this morning, 129 points. So lots of investors on Wall Street waiting for something to happen, too, on taxes. With not much time left in the year.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:54 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures up 129 points. NASDAQ futures up 27 and S&P futures up 11. Oil still trading higher this morning, up 1.5%. $55.06 a barrel. Gold and silver also trading higher. Let's get the latest on agriculture and other commodities now. Here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Another good day for the cattle market yesterday in the Chicago Mercantile Exchange trading. Live cattle and lean hog futures rose to life of contract highs, lifted by investment fund buying that was linked to optimism that meat prices will continue to rise. So at the end of the day, the December lean hog contract up $2.70. The October contract that expired at noon ended 92 cents higher at $120.50. And the November feeder cattle contract up $1.12, ending at $159.42. Turning to the wheat market and the rest of the grain trade yesterday, wheat futures fell to contract lows. Technical selling pressure dragging prices down. Fifth straight session that has happened. And corn followed wheat down, and the soybean market also traded lower because of the advancing of the harvest. But at the end of the day, we saw wheat down 5.25. We saw corn down 3.25. But November soybeans did rally to end up 1.75 cents. Meanwhile, a soybean grower in Alabama is $10,000 richer today because the McMicken Farm at the Alabama Farmers Federation Commodity Organization meeting, the first winners of $10,000 for producing 100 bushels of soybeans to the acre. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday. It's Tuesday. Wednesday. No, it's Thursday. It's Wednesday, November 1st. And here's what's on the calendar. A couple of economic reports, a couple of big ones, as a matter of fact. The Institute for Supply Management will release its manufacturing index for October. Commerce Department will release construction spending for September. Federal Reserve policymakers will issue a statement on interest rates. Automakers have their vehicle sales released for October today, and a couple of big earnings, including Facebook and Tesla, both reporting quarterly financial results after the market closes. Today in California, it'll cost more to fill up. State releasing, increasing its gas tax by 12 cents a gallon starting today. And it is Day of the Dead in Mexico and around the world, where Mexicans celebrate an important holiday that combines pre-Columbian religious beliefs and Catholicism, draws upon All Saints Day as well to worship and honor the dead and remember those who have gone before. It's, again, Wednesday, November 1st. Those are things that could move the markets today.